Chaf Gimel Siben Simen Kuf Nun Gimel Halacha Yud to Kuf Nun Dal Halacha Aleph. We're continuing with the Hachakas to teach us what exactly we're supposed to refrain from and also what is special when it's permitted. So the Kitzur teaches us a person is not allowed to be mistak, a husband is not allowed to be gazing in any place in his wife's body that usually is covered. That means the general way a wife walks around in the home. So those areas that are usually going to be covered, husband's not allowed to, not allowed to gaze. But the areas that are usually revealed, the husband's permitted to, and he's even allowed to enjoy. Now this is an interesting concept. Moshe, first of all, explains that just about what, when we speak about the guidelines of being covered at home or not, there's based on what's normally covered, meaning how a woman would walk around. But that's only referring to no one else there in the home. So even when there's no one else there in the home, and a woman's covered in a certain manner that she probably maybe wouldn't do in public, or people there, that's still good enough to be a guideline. Now, even when it comes to what we just learned, that a husband's allowed to gaze in the areas that are uncovered, but still, it should be not excessive. Because if it's excessive, it could lead to thoughts and end up with doing an Aveira. When it comes to smelling perfumes that are special to her or listening to her sing, according to the Kishonot, when the husband's not allowed to do so, because again, it's going to bring about and lead to being intimate with each other, which is not permitted. Interesting, Avadi Yosef writes in Taz, he has beautiful three chalokim, and he's lenient and make when it comes to the voice of singing of his wife. So there is what to rely on. Some actually discuss and distinguish between whether the wife has a good singer or not a good singer. Okay, in any case, the Kitzur goes on to say something that I always find it interesting that is not really taught in the Chasana classes, Chasana and Kala classes, but it's a very, I think, practical. And that is that a woman then when she's in Nida, she have clothing that are what's called the Nida clothing. So it's kind of like a woman should have two wardrobes, you know, two closets. The clothing that she wears when she's in Nida and when she is not in Nida. The idea is that it's a reminder. It's a reminder, that's what it is. And really Chazal teaches us in Kitzur quotes is that Bekoishi means they barely allowed a woman to really wear makeup and cosmetics and to wear colorful clothing when she's in Nida. And the only reason why they allowed it is in order that she should not become disgusted by her husband, meaning to say she's going to look like a really bad. It's not going to create a good, healthy relationship between the husband and wife when it's permitted. But what's interesting here, first of all, you see Big Day Tivonim is permitted when she's in Nida. And number two is that it's also another smart way of keeping the relationship healthy and fresh, but also balanced, even when she's in Nida. So I think one of the big challenges to keep that connection, but without being physical. Next, a wife should not be what's called the mezigas koisyan b'fanav. The pasuk shad used to be a very intimate thing to dilute wine and prepare the drink of wine for her husband. And certainly a husband doing so for the wife. So for the husband, it's even worse. Her husband can't even send a cup of wine to his wife. So there's a whole discussion the Kitzur holds here. Also, he's machmir that, you know, when it comes to kiddush or even a kosher mitzvah, he has to leave it there. And then his wife takes it, unless there's other people at the table. So then he's sending a cup of wine to everyone. Then it's not a problem. So back to what the kids is discussing about pouring a cup of wine. It seems to be that he's only limiting it to wine. Other poskim hold it's all drinks except water. Some say that also when it comes to serving her husband or vice versa, it should be done b'shinui, meaning with your left hand or not directly in front. So it's interesting that there's a debate about that. There's a machlokes about that. So there is room to be lenient, especially when she's serving everyone else, but still it's good to do a little bit of a shinui. Making beds. Interesting that making beds used to be a very intimate thing. If it's done just because it's the standard making of the bed in the morning, the husband or the wife is permitted to do so. It's nothing to do with intimacy. It's proper etiquette and making sure that the bed's like normal. But if it's like puffing it up and making it much more something attracting and intimate, that's what Chazal is talking about. Pouring water to wash. It used to be the Gemara speaks about the fact that the wife used to wash her husband's face, hands, and feet. Usually, I don't think that's the custom today, so that's not so applicable. when a person is sick, so if the husband is, so here there's a major distinction between a husband being sick and a wife being sick. If the husband is sick and there's no one else to take care of him, so the wife is allowed to take care of him and just to make sure not to touch him. So the best way is to wear gloves. This is also one of the answers of a woman's giving birth. It's always a good idea to use gloves or something else so you're not directly touching flesh to flesh. And that means even helping him get up, etc. The exception is washing his feet and hands, like we said, because that's already much more close and flesh and intimate. Same thing with coming of making the bed, like the kids would discuss this. But here's the reverse is interesting. If a woman is sick, so then the husband, it's much more strict than the husband taking care of her. Again, if he doesn't have any other choice, he can't hire anyone. So then there's room to be lenient. But otherwise, it's much more shas hatchaka gadol. Why is that? We trust less the husband than the wife. That's the answer. So when the husband's sick, so we're not so worried. The husband is not sick. You know, the wife is sick. We trust less the husband, and therefore we're more reluctant to allow him to take care of his wife. If the husband is a doctor and he's taking care of her, taking her pulse, and there's no other doctor like him, so then it's permitted. As long as he's not doing it, they're obviously in an intimate way. All hachakas that we just mentioned, the person has to be careful regardless of whether she's having her period, means she's menstruating, or she's the days of the clean days, the white days, as it's called, Shiva Nakim. Because until she doesn't go to the mikvah, she's a status of Nida. There's no really difference between the two stages. A woman that's a Nida, that means before, that here is a distinction, and maybe that's what people confuse the two. When she's menstruating, meaning before the seven clean days, minig was, it's interesting because today this doesn't, there's no minig like this, but the minig was that she doesn't go to shul and she doesn't daven. I saw the Sfaradim certainly dismiss this. So interesting, it comes from Rashi, a very interesting discussion. Bottom line is, women today, whether she's a nida, not a nida, seven clean days, not clean days, they daven, they go to shul. And certainly when it comes to Yom Noroim, where there's a simcha, some they don't have to miss the shul. And I saw that it is obviously we take into consideration sensitivity and the set for a woman wouldn't be able to go to shul. Imagine on mitzvah, simcha obviously wouldn't make any sense. But especially that this seems to be somewhat of a Kabbalistic thing. In fact, there is a discussion about a woman, she's a nida, not to look at the Sefer Torah at the time of Agbas, especially if she's menstruating. And number two is not going to be Sakvaras. Why is that? So these are spiritual things. It says that the Chitzainim cling to her. So these are spiritual dimensions. And Chatchila, we follow them, we're careful. But if, let's say a woman needs to go to Alavaya, needs to go take care of her, especially if it's Tzadikim, I would suggest that she should go if she needs to go, but she should step. Try to keep away 6 feet away. It's not so hard to keep 6 feet away from the actual grave itself. And we're starting Siman Kufin and Dalet. The laws, the complicated laws of what's called Vestos. Vestos are basically menstrual cycles a woman has. And in general, there's really three things you need to watch out for. And it's called the Vestos Tachodesh, Oina Beninis, and Vestos Haflaga. Let's say what these things are in English. The first one that the kids are discussing is Vestos, based on the calendar. We assume that somehow the woman's cycle is triggered by the calendar day. Regardless of that month has 29 days or 30 days, which is a very interesting concept. So, for example, if a woman saw let's say daytime of the 20th, like today, I think it's the 23rd of Sivan. So now the next month has to be marked off the daytime of the 23rd of Tammuz. And if it repeats itself three times, it means day, or night, and the same exact day, that becomes Vesed Kavua. If it becomes Vesed Kavua, in order to release her from such a Vesed Kavua, she has to have three times that she doesn't see on that date. But generally speaking, if a woman has on that date, and then the next month she changes, so the new date is her cycle, and it stays like that. That is the halacha. One very interesting concept, especially today, when a woman's on a pill, it's a mistake. She's on a pill, then she doesn't have to be really worried about the Vestot, because the body is being dictated by the pills themselves. We'll probably speak a lot more about this whole topic, but this is for now. Have a beautiful day.